All right, brethren, let's go back here now to Ruth chapter 1. Lord willing, plan to preach Sunday out of John 14 on our Lord's word to Philip and to his apostles when they were troubled and became full of unbelief and doubts and fears set in. And Philip asked the Lord to show him the Father. Remember that? And our Lord made a statement, and this is what I want to try to preach on Sunday. He said, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Believe me. The only cure for a troubled heart is to believe Christ. Whatever He's teaching us, whatever His Word declares, believe Him. Believe Him. But there are times when we're troubled and we begin to look at ourselves and we begin to look at our past and we begin to look at our circumstances, and that just compounds our unbelief. So this second part of that statement will help us. Listen to the second part of this statement our Lord made. He said, or else believe me for the very work's sake. You know, child of God, when you're troubled, rather than focusing on self and these other things, focus on what the Lord has worked for you and in you. There was a time you couldn't believe. There was a time you did not believe. And then there came a time when you believed the Lord. You just found yourself believing Him and you could not do otherwise. That's the Lord's working. And there's been times when He's had to correct you and He's had to work things in your life to show you, turn you back to Him. And the only way you have persevered from then till now in faith is the work of the Lord. Focus on His work. Focus on Him and His works. And as I began to look at this and try to prepare a message for Sunday, I kept coming back to Ruth. I used it, first of all, for an illustration, and I kept looking at it, and I thought, I got to preach on this because it illustrates it. So maybe I'm doing this backwards. Maybe I should preach that for other ones first and then preach this second. But this will illustrate what I hopefully will preach Sunday. Now let's see this with Naomi and Ruth. Verse 19, Ruth 1:19. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? It means pleasant. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi. Call me Mara. Call me Mary. It means bitterness. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Now, Naomi is not murmuring here against the Lord. She's acknowledging the hand of God, His works, and what He has done in bringing her home. She's patiently bearing what the Lord has done for her. What a blessing of God to recognize that what has come to pass in our life is the Lord's work. It's God's hand. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. Not to attribute it to luck or fate or whatever, but to acknowledge the Lord did this. She said, the Almighty hath dealt very, very bitterly with me. Yes, it was bitter. He took her husband. He took her two sons. It was bitter. Took one of her daughter-in-laws. But here's the blessing in it. The Lord hath. The Lord hath. The Lord's done this. The Lord Almighty. The Almighty. It's not by might nor by power. It's by the Spirit of the Almighty. the Almighty. And look at the grace of God in this next statement, verse 21. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home empty. She went out, but where? From where did she go out, and to where did she go? She went out from Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread. She went out from the place God said, I will visit you here and provide bread for you. I'll give you my gospel in this place. She went out from there. She went to Moab, cursed Moab, a cursed land where the gospel was not. She went out, and the Lord brought me home, she said. See the blessing there, and the Lord brought me home again. He brought me home again. The Lord brought her home to the house of bread. He brought her to the Lord's house. He brought her home again to the place where He promised to bless His people. That's where He brought her to. She went out full, but what was she full of when she went out? Carnal blessings. Temporal blessings. Carnal wisdom. Carnal wisdom, thinking it was the best thing to do to go to Moab. She went out full. She came home empty. Emptied of that carnal, those carnal blessings. Empty of all that temporal good she had. She came home empty. But you got to be emptied before you can be filled. I think it's interesting that she was full and she left the house of bread. When God emptied her, He brought her back to the house of bread. Got to be emptied for the Lord to make you to know the love of Christ, which passeth all knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Got to be emptied. Who did this for Naomi? Who did all this? All of this was the work of the Lord blessing Naomi. We just sang, Teach me thy way, O Lord. Break every tender tie. All these things we sing. That's what the Lord was doing for Naomi. She was a chosen child of God our Father. She was somebody Christ had entered covenant to redeem and bring to the Father, righteous and holy. She was one who had already been regenerated in her heart and given faith when as yet she still was at Bethlehem, Judah. Before she ever left, the Lord had done this for her. She's a regenerated child of God. And this is what the Scripture says. Look to your right, just a few pages, to 1 Samuel chapter 2, and look at verse 9. This is the Lord's word. He will keep the feet of His saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. Now, if we judged by providence, and we judge by Naomi leaving the house of bread and going down to this cursed land of Moab, we might judge that she was one of the wicked. But she's not. She's a child of God. Loved of God from eternity. She didn't come home alone either. She came home with a daughter-in-law named Ruth, a Moabitess. This was one of God's elect children. God's elect children. The Lord ruled everything that took place in Naomi's life. Overruled everything. Overruled all providence so that she goes to Moab. Her son meets Ruth. And they get married. And the Lord used Naomi to teach Ruth the gospel. And He saved her. She was an elect child. This had to take place because He's going to call that elect to Himself. So the Lord overruled the unbelief and the sin and the error of judgment that took place here to go to Moab in the first place. The Lord ruled it all because He's bringing one of His elect child to Him. And He did that. He taught her the gospel, and by God's grace, she was steadfastly minded to stay with Naomi and worship the Lord. Now, her Redeemer, our Redeemer, God our Savior, worked it all. He worked this to bring them to know Him more and more He had revealed himself to Naomi. She knew him. He revealed himself to Ruth. She believed him. But the Lord is going to reveal himself to them more and more. And everything he worked in this whole affair was to teach them his faithfulness, who he is, more and more. Their kinsman redeemer, to teach him more and more of him. Everything we're going to behold here pictures Christ Jesus, our kinsman redeemer. And here's what we need to remember. Christ, everything we're going to see here about Christ, Christ was this already to Naomi and Ruth before Naomi ever went down into Moab. And before Ruth ever even was called to the Lord and knew it. Everything we're going to see about Christ, he already was for Naomi and Ruth from the foundation of the world. And so it is for all his people. And this is why he wouldn't allow Naomi to perish. This is why he wouldn't allow Ruth to go on in unbelief down there in Moab. This is why he did everything he did to remove every obstacle to bring them back to the house of bread. Now, let's look at this. First of all, we see the Redeemer and his work for his people. Now, this book right here, it's not about Naomi and Ruth. They're not the focus of this book. This book is all about Christ, our kinsman redeemer. Our kinsman redeemer. Verse 1, Ruth 2, 1, he's pictured in this man named Boaz. It says, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. It means strength. Boaz typifies the Lord Jesus Christ, our kinsman redeemer. In his law, when God gave the law, he gave an illustration, a picture, a type of our Lord Jesus, the Redeemer. And here's what God gave in the law. He said, after that a man had sold himself in debt, he's just in up over his eyeballs in debt, and he sold himself as a servant to have to try to work as a servant because he's indebted. So he's in bondage. And after he sold himself, God said he can be redeemed again. One of his brethren may redeem him. Either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is nigh of kin unto him of his family may redeem him. And if he's able, he can redeem himself, God said. He wouldn't be there in bondage if he could. But the Lord provided in Leviticus 25 there, 48 through 50, he provided a kinsman redeemer for the man that sold himself into debt. Now the one who's fallen into poverty and bondage is all God's elect. We fell into poverty in sin and bondage when we sinned in Adam and became guilty before God. We fell into this, bankrupt of all righteousness, bankrupt of all ability, unable, incapable, with nothing with which to pay to redeem ourselves from our debtor, which is the law of God. The holy, just, good law of God. We had no way to redeem ourselves from the curse and condemnation of the law, nor from the bondage of our sin nature. And as we see with Naomi, even after faith is given, we still need our Redeemer so often to deliver us, just like he did Naomi and Ruth. So the Redeemer now, what about this Redeemer? Well, there's three requirements for a Redeemer. Number one, he had to be near kin. That's the first thing. He had to be near kin. The second thing is he had to be able to redeem. And the third thing is he had to be willing to redeem. He had to be near of kin, he had to be able, and he had to be willing. Boaz was near kin. This was the near kin of Elimelech, Naomi's husband, who had died. So he's near of kin. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is called in Scripture the firstborn among many brethren. He's the firstborn son among many brethren. He's the near kinsman. In fact, before you and I ever knew him to be the near kinsman, before we ever knew our own selves to be a child of God, Christ was the near kinsman of all his people. Remember, Paul said in Galatians, because ye are sons, there you are dead in your sin, but because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart so that you call on Him as Father. Because ye are sons. So we had a kinsman redeemer before we ever knew we had a kinsman redeemer. Before we knew we needed a redeemer, we had a kinsman redeemer. So he was near kin, and then Boaz was able to redeem. He's a man of great wealth. A man of great wealth. His name means strength. Our Lord Jesus Christ is a man of great wealth. He's the God-man. He's both God and man. All God and all man. He's of great wealth. Everything belongs to Him. But as the God-man, He took flesh and He walked in this earth spotless, without sin, holy, so that He's fit to go to the cross in place of His people. He is a wealthy man and He's a strong man. He prayed to the Father and He said, Father, Thou hast given me power over all flesh, that I might give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given me. That's who Christ is. The kinsman redeemer. Near of kin, He's all-powerful, able to redeem. And Boaz was willing to redeem. He fell in love with Ruth. He fell in love with Ruth. And he was willing. It didn't matter what it cost him. He was willing to purchase her. Buy her out of debt. Buy her to himself. Our Lord Jesus Christ was willing. He willingly entered covenant with the Father. He willingly came down to take flesh. He willingly walked among these sinners in this life. He willingly went to that cross and laid down His life for His people. He's a willing redeemer. A willing redeemer. Now, why would Christ be so willing? Ruth, we're going to see here, Boaz fell in love with Ruth. Why was Christ so willing? Well, one, He's willing to glorify the Father who He loved. But two, the joy that was set before Him was redeeming all His elect church, His bride, that He might marry us to Himself. That was the joy. And that was the joy set before Boaz here, as we'll see. Now, but why, here's the second thing, why must we be redeemed by Christ? And we must. It's a must. Why must we be redeemed by Christ? There's three kinds of redemption. There's redemption at the cross. There's redemption from our sin nature when He brings us out of bondage in the new birth. And there's going to be redemption when He takes us out of this world into His glory. The full redemption of our body. And Christ is the Redeemer. He's the only Redeemer. Why do we need a Redeemer? Well, we see it in that there was one of nearer kin that Boaz, one nearer kin than Boaz, who had first claim on this right to redeem. Now look over at Ruth 3 and look at verse 12. Ruth 3 and verse 12. Boaz said to Ruth, now it's true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. This nearer kinsman represents the law of God. That's who he represents, the law of God. And here's why. The law had first claim on all God's elect. We broke the law. We broke it. We broke it. And the law demands death. And we could not pay what we owed. The law had to be honored because God's holy. Now, Christ had to uphold God's law. He had to. It's a must. He had to uphold the law that He might lawfully redeem us and give us all the blessings of God's grace and mercy. God couldn't just give you His blessings of grace and mercy. That law's got to be dealt with. And the whole point of that is to teach us God is righteous. And in the light of His righteousness, you know what we learn? We are by nature unrighteous. And the more you see Him righteous and what that means, how strictly righteous He is, the more we'll trust Christ and the less we'll trust ourselves. So Christ alone must work this work in order for God to be holy, but also for God to get all the glory. Scripture said in Isaiah 42:21, the Lord is well pleased for His righteousness' sake. Speaking of Christ, He will magnify the law and make it honorable. The Lord never looked to His people. He always looked to Christ. And He said that in Isaiah 42. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. So Boaz, here's the picture. Boaz goes to the place of judgment, where judgment was settled in the cities. That's where he went. He went to the gate. Look here in Ruth 4:1. Then went Boaz up to the gate. This gate was the public entrance. It's the place where judgment was settled. This is where judgment was settled. Matters of the law were settled. And if there was somebody they were going to execute, that's where God said to execute them, at the gate, before everybody. So that's where they would execute them. The law would be poured out on them in the ultimate degree, right there at the gate. And Boaz, when he gets there, he calls this near kinsman, and there's 10 judges there, and they represent the law. This near kinsman had first right on Naomi, and these 10 judges represent the whole law. And the near kinsman was willing to buy Naomi. When he heard what Boaz said about redeeming, he was willing to buy Naomi. Buy the whole estate. But there was a stipulation. Look down at Ruth 4:5. It said, then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field, what day you buy the estate, all the land that belongs to Naomi, thou must buy also of Ruth the Moabitess, this Gentile woman, the wife of the dead. She's already been the wife of somebody. You're going to have to buy her too. And you have to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. You're going to have to raise up some children. Whoever redeemed Naomi and her estate must marry Ruth and must raise up children. But this near kinsman, he would not do that. And he could not do that without marring his inheritance. Look here in verse 6. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now here's what you're going to learn from this. The law could not redeem God's elect Jews, and it certainly couldn't redeem God's elect Gentiles. Here you have a Naomi who's a Jew, and you got Ruth who's a Gentile. And this man was willing to redeem Naomi and her estate, but he wasn't willing to redeem Ruth. And he certainly wasn't willing to take her to wife and raise up children to her. The law could not redeem God's elect, Jew or Gentile. It's not by the works of the law that we're justified. And here's the other thing. This man would not produce fruit in Ruth. He wouldn't produce children. The law couldn't produce fruit in us either. The law couldn't justify us, couldn't save us, and the law couldn't produce fruit in us either. Neither one, by the law. The law can only declare us guilty. Guilty. The law can only execute justice upon us. You know Galatians 3:21. He said, is the law then against the promises of God? If the law can't help us, is it against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Always get, when you talk, he talks about giving life, he connects righteousness with it. Because if you are righteous, you have eternal life. You are alive if you're righteous. If you're not righteous, you're not alive. Sin's death. Righteousness is life. But if this life could have been given by the law, then it would come by the law. But listen, but the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise, it's God's promise, by faith of Jesus Christ, by His faithful doing, by Him being the Redeemer, by Him fulfilling the law, might be given to them that believe, that trust Him, that rest in Him, that believe Him. Now, But what the law could not do, Christ our kinsman redeemer can do. And he did do. What does Scripture say? By one man's obedience, many shall be made righteous. By one man's obedience, he made his people righteous. Boaz went up to that gate to settle this matter. Our Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross. There's what the gate pictures. He goes to Calvary's cross to settle judgment for all his people. For all his people. Now here, let me stop a minute. I don't want to lose you from where I started. When you're troubled and you're doubting and you're looking this way and that way into this and that other thing and you just can't get any peace, I hope you don't get any looking in those places. Look to Calvary's cross and remember what Christ has accomplished for his people. But I just don't feel. It ain't about what you feel. It ain't. When you was head over heels in love with your false God and felt all good inside that you was righteous, was you righteous? It didn't matter that you felt that way. You wasn't. Well, it don't matter if you don't feel that way. Your righteousness is Christ. Boaz went up there and settled judgment. Christ went to the cross and he settled judgment for his people. He took the place of his people and bore our sin and bore the wrath of God in place of his people and settled judgment. We died in Christ. We died in him. He's settled. In doing so, he's the justifier of his people. He declared God just and he's the justifier of his people. So now God is just to be merciful to his people. He had made him sin for us who knew no sin. What up? You know why that's so amazing? He knew no sin and he didn't have to be made sin. He did it willingly. That's the love he had for his people. He did it willingly. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that's what he accomplished. That's what he accomplished. He did it to declare the righteousness of God, that God might be just and the justifier of them that believe. That's what this gospel is all about. That's what Christ coming into the world is all about, to declare the righteousness of God. How he had to kill you that believe in order to be just. And he did it. And he's just to be nothing but merciful to you all your days. Because he satisfied his justice. You can't get more dead than dead. You can't get more justified than justified. You can't get more perfected than perfected. That's what Christ accomplished. That's what he accomplished. He said, there's no God else beside me. A just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. And every time men try to act like they got a righteousness they've worked out or something they've done to make themselves righteous, they're saying, that's not true. I'm God. There is no God but God our Savior. And the glory belongs to him. He alone justified his people. Made us the righteousness of God. Now, there was a joy set before Christ. And just like there was Boaz. Having fulfilled the law, he marries his bride, his church, and he produces children. Look down at verse 10, Ruth 4, verse 10. It says, moreover, Boaz declared here, after he had said this and settled this case, he said, moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife. He's declaring this before all. I have purchased her to be my wife to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. Christ purchased all God's elect. He bought us with his own blood. And because he fulfilled the law in perfection, our Lord comes and he takes his bride to himself and makes us his. And now here's the thing. Just like all these witnesses, he declared this before them and all these witnesses said, yes, he did this. Boaz accomplished this? Well, brethren, this is what the Scripture says. Now, the righteousness of God without the law, without you doing a thing, now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness which is by the faith of Christ. It's His righteousness that is imputed to you who believe, and it's His righteousness that's upon you that believe, clothing you completely before God. That's so. That's so. And so Boaz took Ruth. Let me ask you, why do you preach Christ from a text like this? Why do you preach Christ every time you go through the law? Why do you preach Christ and all the prophets? Why? Because the law and the prophets bear witness of Christ. And this whole book bears witness of Christ. That's the purpose. That's the purpose. So Boaz took Ruth to be his lawful bride, and he produced some children. Now listen, this is what Romans 7:4 says. Wherefore, my brethren, you that believe. Now here's what you think on. You think on the works of the Lord. Here's what you think on when you're troubled. Remember this. Wherefore, my brethren, you that believe. You also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. No more condemnation. No more condemnation. That you should be married to another, even to him who's raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Man, we're living in a crazy time. I was about to say, you ever seen a woman produce a child by herself? But we're living in a crazy time. But ordinarily, that can't happen. And you and I can't produce fruit of ourselves. We've never produced one fruit. We're married to Christ that the fruit might be produced by Christ. The fruits of righteousness which are by Christ Jesus. By Christ Jesus. Now, knowing that, if you want to start inspecting the fruit in your brethren, and you want to inspect Christ's work and be critical of it, you go right ahead. I'm going to leave that to him. I'm going to leave that to your husband. Now, think back to the beginning. We've been talking about the works that we need to focus on. Now, think back to the beginning. From the beginning, Naomi and Ruth belonged to Christ, their Redeemer. They had been given faith in the Lord, and they were being taught Christ more and more. And it was Christ who was working everything that took place in their life. God, our Savior, our kinsman Redeemer, was working everything that took place in their life. Where do you think that famine came from in the first place? He sent it. The clouds are His chariot. He can withhold the rain. He can make the crops stop producing. It's all of Him. He sent the famine. Couldn't he have just kept Elimelech from deciding, I need to move my family to a God-forsaken land and let them dwell amongst a bunch of Moabitish heathens? Couldn't God have turned him from that? He let him go. Let him go. And he took off down there with his whole family. It was an error in judgment to judge by providence and go to Moab rather than believe God that He would provide bread in Bethlehem. That was God's promise. I will provide you bread in Bethlehem. We can make a lot of justifications for going to Moab and turning out of the way and all this other. But all it is, when it comes down to it, is not believing the word of the Lord. That's all it is. That's so of you. Is that so of you? So of you. So of me. That's all it is. Just flat out unbelief. Flat out unbelief. And we're prone to judge by providence. To judge by providence. And this is that's the essence of a health and wealth prosperity gospel. A false gospel is to judge by providence. You do this, that, this, and the other, and God will bless you. And so if you're not doing this, that, and the other, you don't have enough faith. You don't have enough this or that or the other. There's a whole lot of believers in this book that suffered, that was obeying the will of the God. As far as I can tell, Job wasn't doing a thing except worshiping the Lord. But our kinsman redeemer was overruling everything that took place. Because he's going to bring his elect Ruth to hear the gospel and bring her to faith. If Naomi had never gone down there, that wouldn't have happened. Don't make going down there right. It was wrong. But if she hadn't went down there, she would have never heard the gospel. And that's the power and sovereignty of God to overrule our sin and our ignorance to call out his people and save his people. And he was going to empty Naomi of all her carnal fullness. She had some security. She got to be shown that her husband is Christ. She got to be shown that her brethren are not them two boys, but the brethren God's provided. She got to be finding all her fullness in Christ. Break every tender tie if it's going to separate me from Christ. And that's what she got to be shown, and that's what the Lord was doing. Child of God, you believe Christ, believe him. Trust Christ. Trust his word. Whatever he says. Or else, believe him for his work's sake. Has he not worked this in you? Has he not worked these things for you? Naomi said, I went out full, and the Lord brought me home again empty. We have to be empty. We have to be empty. Emptied of all our carnal refuge, emptied of our self-righteousness, emptied of our self-holiness, emptied of our self-made ways, emptied of our sins and rebellion and everything that would separate us from God. We have to be brought not to trust ourselves. That's what it is to be empty. And to be filled with the fullness of God so that would come whatever he's pleased to do, I'm trusting him. Trust in him. And the Lord Jesus is teaching us, he's teaching us not to glean anywhere else but in his field. That's what he's teaching. Look back up there at Ruth 2, verse 8. I'm going to hurry. Boaz said to Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Brethren, this word right here is the field we're to glean in. Don't look for, don't go on social media to try to get advice. Get it right here. Get good counsel right here. And this gospel we're preaching, assembling with God's people, this is how the means he's going to use to bless his people. This is the field. This is the field. Don't forsake it. Don't leave. Don't forsake assembling with your people, with the brethren, and come and hear this gospel. No matter how tired you are, no matter how weary you are, come hear this gospel, because it just might be that's the night God solves your problems. And this is how he's going to do it. This is how he's going to do it. And leave not the house of bread for the carnal webs of Moab. Believe the Lord. Abide in Christ by faith. Walk by faith. Abide with his people in his house. Even when carnal sight makes it appear more reasonable to do otherwise. That's what it appeared to them. It appeared more reasonable to go to Moab. Even when your carnal sight says this is the most unreasonable thing to trust the Lord in. Trust him anyway. Trust him anyway. Don't judge by providence. That's feeble sense. Judge by the word of the Lord. He said, I'll give you bread in Bethlehem. He said, I won't forsake my people. I'll preserve them. I'll keep them. It won't be by strength or might. It'll be by my power, saith the Lord. Now, let me end with this. So the Lord emptied Naomi. He emptied Ruth, but he filled them. He filled them. In all this that he worked. Now look back at Ruth 4, verse 14. And the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. There's the reason Christ is working what he's working in his people, that his name might be famous in Israel. Not mine and yours, his. Now watch this. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. They probably really did think this was the Messiah. That's what they're saying. Here's your Redeemer. And all the women in Israel were looking for Christ to be born at any time. And they thought this was him. But the Spirit of God put that in their mouth because here's the truth of it. Christ came right through them. Ruth is the great, 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 great grandmother of our Lord according to the flesh. This Moabite named Ruth. There's only two women in his genealogy, a harlot and a Moabite woman. That wasn't him of Israel. He associates with sinners, doesn't he? He saves sinners. Watch this. And Naomi took the child and she laid it in her bosom and she became nurse to it. She got a grandchild. He produced fruit. Boaz did. In Ruth, and she's got this child now in her arms. And what? And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there's a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He's the father of Jesse, the father of David. And the reason that genealogy is given is it goes right to Christ. Brethren, Christ is the end for every bitter suffering we have to go through. He's the end. That's where God's bringing you. To know Him better. To believe Him more. To trust yourself less. To look nowhere but to Him. So believe Him. Believe Him. This is the fruit He produces when He does this. Faith in Him. And love for your brethren. And He makes you follow Him. He makes you glean in His field. He makes you obey Him and stay nearer to Him. When you... before then even know you wasn't. More and more to know Him. So that Christ's name might be famous. And when He does this, they were glorifying the Lord. They said, blessed be the name of the Lord. And that's the end purpose. We're going to glorify Him whose name is famous. That's it. That's why He redeemed His people. That's what He teaches the first hour of faith. And the lesson don't change. It just keeps on. Same lesson. Amen.